Greg Abbott hires buses to transport immigrants to New York. Greg Abbott and his prankish methods made me think. I was curious what the good-looking Texas governor's vibration would be so that he finds it okay to play with people, be prankish, and deposit real people through the letter chute. I could not find a good picture, so you have to see the poop on a car windshield. Yeah. That is a perfect illustration to Texas governor and his intent. His age. His vibration. You'll see. I found a picture through which I could actually connect to the dude. First I suspected that there is no person to connect to. Because all I could see was empty black space, but finally I found a video through which I could see reflected light. And I could connect. Greg Abbott's vibration is 30. Vibration is a measure of how much of reality, the world you see and from how high, this means that Greg Abbott is not seeing the world except from what is visible from the basement. What would make someone live in that basement? Through anger. And what would make a state, a large state, elect a man for governor like that? The average vibration is 100 in the world. But in Texas the average vibration is 70. A one-time student who lives in Texas, whose vibration is now 100, is head and shoulders above her environment. In New York she would be miserable. New York's average vibration is 170. How do politics and worldview connect? How do politics and vibration connect? Vibration rises when one sees the world, reality, more rightly. We can say that a higher vibration person sees in a way that is more aligned with life, than how and what a lower vibration person sees. What is the most operative measure with regards to seeing? Seeing the world accurately? Seeing life accurately? I would say that it is the about me measure. In the 2,400-year-old questions of Hillel the Elder, most answers to living rightly, seeing rightly, can be found. If I am not for myself, who will? If I am only for myself, who am I? And if not now, when? In the first sentence Hillel says that it is your duty, your responsibility to be for yourself, provide for yourself what you need. Don't wait, don't expect, don't hope the world will give you what you need. Give it to yourself. This has been the most functional and operative commandment that myself and my students have started to implement. We all live with so-called needs that are fully and completely can be provided for by yourself. Getting respect, validating, being given, told that you are good, whole and complete, loving and lovable, okay, don't need another or others. You can give it to yourself. Completely and better than others can. You can love yourself. Respect yourself. Tell yourself what you need to hear to be okay. But, if your vibration is not very high, you haven't. Your life is about extorting what you want to hear, what you want to get. And if it is about that, it cannot be in harmony with life. In the second sentence Hillel says that if you are only for yourself, then who you are is the only evil there is, desire to receive for the self alone. You want everything and you want what others have. So you rob, steal, cheat, oppress, hoard. And you have misery in your wake. You kill life. And this is where your about me score is calling the shot the most. The about me score is the percentage of your only for myself and you are about life and in life. In fact, you cannot see the world rightly when you look through the about me portion of your view. You only see what your self-concern allows you to see. The so-called need you invented at an early age. Being superior to others, getting what you want, getting respect, getting attention, climbing higher than others, being special. We, in this work, call these self-concerns. They are distortions. Distortions of how life should be, how reality should be. They say I want the world slash others slash myself to be the way I want it to be. And they also say, I don't want the world to be the world is. I don't want others to be the way they are. I don't want to be the way I am. And, of course, the world is the way the world is. People are the way people are. And you are the way you are. So the result is misery. Misdirected efforts. Disappointment, and living in the basement of your being. Low vibration. These views are very rigid. In the work, we don't try to fix the view. We don't even try to change the views. We endeavor to soften the views, make them less rigid. Make them malleable. Malleable is like clay, you can shape it. Clay is not rigid like a rock. One symptom of rigidity is an impoverished vocabulary. Vocabulary? Yes. You see, trapped inside the rigid self-concern, you only have a few words available to you. And they all carry the meaning of right or wrong. Nothing in between. So the self-concern traps you in the lowest paradigm of consciousness, in the paradigm of right and wrong. Linear. Binary. Miserable. Something and its opposite. Black or white. No notice, no knowledge of a whole world of rich color, none of that. You either get what you want or you don't. And, of course, you don't. Because it was never yours to get. And also unless you see that it is your job to give it to yourself, if you want it, then no matter who gives you what, it will leave you with more wanting. And looking at others who, in your view, are less deserving. Others who get what you want, while you don't. Surprisingly, the solution is outside of the I get it or I don't linearity. The job is to enlarge, widen that line as wide as you can. With words. What created that line was words. What can make it wider is also words. But not words that agree or disagree, that try to fix, or positive think. These words also fall on the line, not outside of it. So they are still part of the lowest level of consciousness, the black and white paradigm. To elevate yourself to the higher paradigm, you need to make that line just part of the landscape, not all of the landscape. The wider you make that new landscape, the less you are plagued by the self-concern. Of course, the whole world is now engaged in a right/wrong, black and white battle. But you don't have to engage with it yourself. You can blaze your own path. Wide and rich in what you can see. We know of some men who were imprisoned and yet managed to have a rich world. Where love, caring, compassion, freedom was available to the imprisoned because they had words for them. In today's prisons, people who read, people who take on a study escape the linear black and white world, and when they are released and even before them can live a full life. People who are trapped by their vocabulary don't and can't. In yesterday's Face the Tiger workshop, that is pretty much all we did. We attempted to wrap your black and white, right and wrong line of misery with dots that fall outside of that line. The work we did needs to continue in their lives if it is to stick. I am a little embarrassed. I started to measure people's vocabulary, the vocabulary that would be able to create dots outside of that wretched line, years ago. But I had never thought of teaching people how to expand that line with words until just a fortnight ago. It has turned out, the move, to finally allow people to ascend. To swim up, to start seeing the light. The more someone can see that, the first line of Hillel's saying is the key to higher vibration, higher consciousness, a more effective way of living, the more they will work on expanding that line. And often it takes many times to hear it before it takes root. The more someone expects something outside of them to give them what they want, even if that something is an energy, the big bundle, or the heaven on earth, or an avatar state activator audio, the less they will be able to hear that it is theirs to do. There's to give themselves what they need. That no other, no energy, no God, no angel, no fate, no luck can give you what you need. Only you can give it to yourself. One example is belonging. If you want to belong, no matter how many people say you belong, you'll keep on wanting it, because all you can see is that you don't. Another example is needing to be validated. Or needing to be loved. Or any of these needs. What makes one a seeker who never finds is considering that need is something others, an energy, God, a religion, a group can fill. The essence of a seeker is that a seeker never finds. Cannot. Because a seeker seeks outside of themselves what can only be given by themselves to themselves. When back in 1996 I decided to embrace being stupid, I stopped pursuing, seeking, being considered smart. And I had peace, suddenly. I could consider other values outside of smart and stupid. I had to learn to actually see them, recognize them, because inside that line of smart and stupid there could be nothing else. No generosity. No dignity. Compassion? Courage? Self-expression? Creativity? Freedom? Flexibility? Love? None of them is visible on the line. So I spent time expanding what I could actually see. All were outside of the smart stupid line. I didn't know that I stumbled onto a methodology. I didn't know. Had I known it, I would have been more effective in guiding people to the promised land. But now I know it and now I can teach it. And the results are stunning. The methodology is not ready to be canonized just yet. But we are working on it, my core group and myself. Now, I'd like to have another Face the Tiger Methodology Live workshop for those who feel that they are ready. If you were in yesterday's workshop but want a review, you get a discount price in the shopping cart. Learn the Face the Tiger methodology. It will serve you everywhere. In your work, in your relationships, in your health. Like a Swiss Army knife.